Hi, this is Stan Hansen from Texas.
I hope everybody tunes in to the podcast Throwback.
Turnbuckle
Throwback. I know it because it's been done to me so many times. But Turnbuckle Throwback, tune in to the podcast.
Thank you.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all, right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast!
Woo! Yeah!
Check one, check two, check one, check two, check one. So how's everybody doing tonight? Hope you guys had a great Halloween. I am at a remote location using some recorder. I don't have my equipment with me where I am. And like I mentioned on last week's show, the next couple of weeks are going to be a little sporadic. I got a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, and it's taking up my personal time. And it's pretty important, and I just need to be, you know, taking care of me for a little while. And if we take a week or two off, it's not because we're doing anything, you know, to end the show or anything. It was just doing it to, because I got to get my shit together. I got a lot of stuff going on, so I'm going to apologize in advance. I'm sure you guys, I'm hoping you guys just stick with me and bear with me until I get my life back in order. And the only thing that's constant in my life right now, besides my job, my family, and my close friends, is the podcast. So I want to thank everybody who's behind the scenes with me doing it. So we're doing it up big, man. It's a big deal. So hope everybody had a nice Halloween. Well, I wasn't feeling Halloween this year. I normally dress up, go to a party. I didn't do any of that this year. Next year, though, I got a dope costume. I can't wait to dress up. I'm going to dress up as the Kingpin, but D'Onofrio's Kingpin from Daredevil. I just finished Daredevil Season 3. It's fucking fantastic. If you have a chance to get it, please, by all means, do it. It is so, so dope. So, so dope. And I know Marvel's been killing all the other shows. They killed Luke Cage. They killed Iron Fist. They're probably going to kill Jessica Jones next. The Punisher is coming out next year, so that's already done. I'm just excited, man. Daredevil was so good, man. I enjoyed it. So if you guys are into that genre, go check it out. I have to catch up with Mayans. I've been watching that. And I got to catch up with... I got to do a lot of watching. I just haven't... You know, I've been just watching things sporadically on my commute back and forth to work. And Netflix is pretty cool. Like I mentioned last week, you can actually download episodes to your device. This way, you know, you're in a bad spot. Like when you're trying to stream something, I hate that. It's like the worst feeling in the world when you're trying to stream something and it's all like jammed up and stuff. It's ridiculous. So I'm pretty happy about that. I'm pretty excited about the prospect of downloading shit to my device and being able to watch it at my leisure. And I even have an Android app called Showbox. You could download movies and stuff too. I just watched the Black Klansman, Spike Lee movie, What a phenomenal movie. If you guys get a chance to see that, it's pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good. So, yeah, man. So, Halloween, I saw a lot of people dressing up on the way home. That was cool. Grown-ups wearing their gear. You know, I like that. New York is special around Halloween time because everybody gets into the spirit. You know, people dress up at work. There's a big parade downtown in the West Village every year. It's actually going on. Really good stuff. You know, kids trick-or-treating, or every neighborhood's trick-or-treating. And costumes have evolved, man. When I was a kid, they were these flammable fucking jumpsuits of whatever character, and then they had this plastic mask, you barely breathe in it, with a rubber band holding it and staples that stuck to your head. So I had a bunch of costumes when I was a kid. I remember going to Spider-Man one year. I went as the Hulk. I went as, I don't know where I got this one from. Bo, I think this was like a clearance and shit. I had Bo Duke from the Dukes of Hazzard. I went as E.T. one year. And then by the time I was E.T., it was like 84. I was growing out of that and just dressing up whatever. I put makeup on my face or paint my face like a clown or something. I didn't dress up again until junior high school and high school. But the big thing in my neighborhood was bombing. And not graffiti bombing. That was another type of bombing. But bombing where you would, you know, use, this is sounds vulgar and savage, you know, now, but back in the day, we would, you know, egg people, throw eggs, shaving cream, you know, get all messed up, and they would put powder in socks and just pound each other out. It was crazy. And you go to different neighborhoods and, you know, sometimes you get assaulted. Depends on where you lived. Depends on who you hung out with. I mean, it sounds really fucked up now, but I mean, it was interesting as a kid. And you outgrow that stuff. I remember when I was in high school and it was like people throwing eggs at you, and I was walking my, I used to have to walk my dog 3 times a day. But they would throw eggs at you when you went outside. So I would take a baseball bat and I would walk my dog with the baseball bat. And anybody who threw eggs at me, I would fucking go beat their face in with the bat. Thank God I didn't have to do that. They would, they saw him with the bat and they, you know, okay. Phyllis one egg thrown at him. Okay. And there was like a code, you know, you didn't, people didn't get hurt. One year my mom got hurt. My mom was coming home from work. She worked as a bartender in a catering hall, like a wedding hall, catering hall. And she was coming home from work and she was walking the main strip where I used to live. And someone, it was cold. It was really cold this one Halloween. And someone threw like a cold egg at her face while she was walking. And caught her right in the eye and, like, really gave her a fucking eye jammy. So I went, again, took the baseball bat, went down to that neighborhood, started swinging the bat, grabs a couple of people. Who threw the egg? No one knows. I mean, they probably knew, but they didn't want to get fucking killed. So, but that was, like, the last time I, you know, got into that. But Halloween was cool. Then, you know, you get into junior high school. In high school, you had parties and you dressed up, and it was cute girls, and, you know, everybody had a good time. Halloween's great. And then the last couple of years, when I owned the house, I would take off from work, and I would sit in front of my house, and it's the first time I ever had to get a chance to do this. I would give candy out to kids, and I got to tell you, it was the coolest thing, one of the coolest things I've ever done, just sitting on the steps for like 2-3 hours, and watching these little kids, and babies, and toddlers and preteens and, you know, grade school kids and just cool ass costumes. Some kids are really creative. And then it was a theme. Like one year everybody was Daredevil. Every year, one year everybody was Deadpool. Everybody one year was Power Rangers, whatever. And the girls were Frozen from Disney and whatever. But it was so fucking cool just to sit outside and give these kids candy. It's so invigorating. And it made me feel good, you know, and it made me feel like I was a part of something. The neighborhood I lived in was so cool. The kids were trick-or-treating. It was like a central hub of my neighborhood where I lived. And everybody came from different neighborhoods. And apparently the locals there would, you know, they were like, oh, they would get all excited. Like, oh, Halloween's next week. You know, I can't wait to see the kids. And I'm like, really? Because when I was growing up, people stopped trick-or-treating in my neighborhood because I lived in six family houses. And the kids would ring the bell and nobody would answer the bell anymore. People just stopped giving candy. So the kids would walk the strip, like the avenue, Myrtle Avenue in Ridgewood, Queens. And they would go to like the establishments, the stores, local stores. And sometimes you get stuff in the stores. And then the stores stopped giving you shit. So certain neighborhoods just didn't give out candy no more. So it got kind of dull in my neighborhood where I grew up. But when I moved out here and I was doing it, I was like, holy shit, man, this is cool shit. And I was excited, you know. So this year, obviously, Halloween was on a Wednesday, so I had to work, and, you know, I saw some, looking at social media, everybody's dressing up, so I wasn't really in the spirit this year, and I'm sad about it, but next year, though, next year, that white suit, black shirt with the cufflinks, I'm going to shave my head real nice, shave my face, and I'm going to be the kingpin. Yeah, that's going to be, it's going to be pretty dope, so... But yeah, Halloween was fun. I remember one year, my relatives took us to like the suburbs, like Long Island, Eastern New York, Eastern Long Island. And like we had garbage bags filled with candy, my sisters and I. It was crazy. And back then you had to watch candy because these sick fucks would put like pins and needles and razor blades in candy. And people are like, oh, it's an urban myth. That's not urban myth, man. We found pins, bobby pins and fucking straight pin hairpins and Snickers bars and stuff like that. People were vindictive, man. I don't know what the fuck people's problems were in the 80s trying to hurt kids. It's so nasty, you know? Only in New York, that shit. I don't know if that happened in other cities like LA or Chicago or Detroit or whatever, but, you know, what you guys, if you guys live in that part of the world and that happened to you, please, by all means, let me know. So. But, yeah, so I hope everybody enjoyed their Halloween. I hope everybody, by the time this comes out, you've seen Crown Jewel. A lot of heat. A lot of heat on social media about Crown Jewel. And I already spoke my case. I really don't think it's, you know, fair to judge a privately or a publicly owned company to make a profit to perform concert, to have a performance in a country, a different country. And I know that poor reporter died, and I know it was fucking tragic, and I know it happened on their soil. In the same breath, though, you know, I wouldn't pay for it if it was like a separate pay-per-view because the card on paper looks really good. But, you know, since it comes with my subscription, I am going to watch it because it's wrestling. I watch everything. I watch all wrestling, you know, and I guess I have like an obligation because I do the podcast to give my opinion. People validate and ask for our opinion, and Choppy and I really don't care that, you know, this is going on, but we, you know, people do value our opinion, so we're going to give you our opinion, you know, and that's basically how it goes. You know, and I know it is in this climate, this political climate is so bad right now. You know, the liberals and the conservative people is just beefing, and you know, there's wrong on each side, and I don't want to get into politics. I've done a couple of philatorials, and you know, I've gotten some feedback on that wasn't too pleasant, and I don't give a fuck. It's my show, you know. But you know, when it comes to like entertainment, sports entertainment, you know, I mean, there's bands that tour these countries all the time, you know, and there are still fans of the genre. So they don't go there all the time. So when they go there, it's like a big deal. That's why I love Europe so much, because Europe, they appreciate wrestling because it doesn't go there. The States wrestling doesn't go there often. So when they do, it's a big deal. I mean, they have their own scene out there, which, God bless them, it's phenomenal, you know. And, you know, so when these bands go and they play, it's a big deal. These festivals, I know my friends' bands, they tour Europe because that's where the money is now because no one buys records anymore, obviously. But they tour, they have to tour to get paid to feed their families. So they go to Europe and they go to South America, they go to different continents even, you know, and they fucking play these huge, ginormous festivals. So you'll see a stage of just different music. Like, you'll see Ozzy play with, you know, Three Doors Down, you know. You'll see Madball with, you know, with Cypress Hill, which you'll probably, which is coming to New York tonight. So, but like, you'll see those kind, you'll see hip hop bands play with rock bands, hardcore bands, punk bands, metal bands, and you'll see like Journey play with Guns N' Roses, you know, Def Leppard play with Everlast, you know what I'm saying? Like, you see all that stuff. So that's where the money is, overseas. No one buys music anymore. And but in wrestling, kind of the same thing. You have to go there to make money. I heard it's a ginormous payroll that they get. They're getting bankrolled like crazy. These Arabs are paying them a bunch of money. Hulk, they're bringing Hulk Hogan over there for this shit, you know. And there are some performers that don't want to go. And you have to respect that, you know. Yet you really have to respect the hustle of it all. You can't really knock those guys for not wanting to go. Taking a stance, you know, and if you could take a stance like that and you're able to do that, that's fantastic, you know. And I don't, and I'm not going to get mad if a certain performer wants to do that. I'm not going to. I refuse. I really do refuse. I won't begrudge anybody for that. It's not fair. It really isn't. And what you know. And there are people who've canceled their subscriptions. I've seen on social media people like, oh, you know, it's blood money. How can you do that? I'm not watching it. I'm not supporting it. And that's fine, man. As long as you take a stance, you know, as long as you take a stance and do it, I'm happy with that. I like the fact that there's like a divide. And a peaceful divide. No one's beefing. No one's fighting. No one's bickering about it. You know, people like, I'm not going to do it. I'm done. That's fine. People like, some people like me don't care. I'm going to watch it. You know, is what happened tragic to that reporter? 100%. Do I think it's wrong? 100%. Do I think every fucking Arab in that country is a murdering psychopath? No. Especially the wrestling fans. They just want to watch wrestling. They want a night out. Muslim people are good people. I know a ton of Muslim people. And they're wonderful human beings. You know. Muslims, you know, and the thing in Pittsburgh last week when that guy walked into that synagogue and killed like fucking 9 people. One of those people were in their late 90s, and they were a Holocaust survivor. Can you imagine being a Holocaust survivor? Living your whole life with this horrible fucking tragedy that happened to you when you were a kid. And then to live your life, to live it out, you want to finish it up good, and then get killed at the end of your life by an anti-Semite? Fucking terrible. Tragic. But I just read that Muslims raised almost $250,000 for those families. That's what this country is made of. That's what keeps me smiling every day. That's what keeps me motivated to know that there are still good people in this world. And I just thought, like, you know, in my field of work, oh, you're so good. You save lives. You're so good. You're so good. There are other good people doing good things on this planet, man, in this country. You know, we're all not psychopaths, and there's so many bad things going on with it. People just getting killed, just senseless, just senseless deaths, school shootings, Las Vegas, Columbine, everywhere, Virginia, you know, police brutality, just, you know, people just Border Patrol beating up on immigrants. Like, it's just a terrible fucking time. You know, the country needs a rewind, you know? And I don't know. I use wrestling as an escape. I use wrestling as an escape from the everyday life, you know? Especially what I got going on now. I need some good wrestling, and I've been watching some good stuff. I watched the women's pay-per-view on Sunday. I was watching the World Series. Congrats to the Red Sox, by the way. They won the World Series a couple days ago. Good for them. Best team in baseball. And I was watching that. I was watching my Vikings get spanked by New Orleans. And then I was watching on the big screen, I was watching the Evolution pay-per-view. And it's in my backyard. Love when they have, you know, Nassau Coliseum was a, you know, next to the Garden was a hotbed for wrestling for years and years and years and years. Saw some great matches there in the Coliseum growing up. And, you know, Full House, and I thought the girls performed well. I loved the Becky Lynch Charlotte match was probably the best match of the card. The Battle Royal was cool because my girl Nia Jax won. I love Nia Jax. But what was cool about it was it had those Royal Rumble spots, you know, the legends and the future of the business, and it was pretty cool, you know. Were there messed up spots? Yeah, of course. Was it perfect? No. The Mae Young Classic final was good. The Japanese chick, I keep forgetting her name, she fought Toni Storm. Toni Storm is going to be a name in this business. Please look out for her. And again, I'm not a huge women's wrestling fan. You guys all know that, but you know, I appreciate the talent and I respect it more. It's not just a bathroom break for me that much anymore. So I will, it you know, when, like I said, and I keep saying this, when I was a kid, women's wrestling was like a novelty. It was it was like an exhibition. It would be a curtain jerker. It'd be right before the intermission, and there were like three or four girls on the card every couple of months, you know. Same thing with the little people. They can't call them midgets anymore, but little people. It was an attraction, you know. But the girls are here to play. The girls are here to play. And you know what? They have star power, and they're getting through to the kids, and the girls, little girls are loving it. I see a lot of little girls in the crowd, wearing all the gear, and my friend's daughter is a teenager now in high school, and she's invested. I saw her at the match on social media, my buddy Chris's daughter, and they had a good time, you know, and I know a few people who went and they loved it, you know. So God bless them. If that can happen regularly and have one or two of those a year, I'm good with it. I mean, they're getting more TV time too, so it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. I'm pretty happy about it. I don't know how long I'm going to go. I'm going to talk for a little while. And the reason why I'm doing this podcast is because I want to talk about my dinner experience a couple of weeks ago with the man, Stan Hansen. So I'll get into that in a few minutes. But anyway, the women's pay-per-view was fun. I have to catch up on NXT. I'll be doing that this weekend. And next time we have Choppy back in studio with us, probably next week, we'll talk about stuff that he's been watching because he's getting back into the flow of he's not watching a lot of wrestling and neither was I, so. We were just doing our throwback. And we got a couple of cool throwbacks for you coming up this month and next month. And we're almost at 300. We should have been at 300 already, but life happens. And I'm really sorry about that. And I hope you guys can just bear with me while I go through my shit. And, you know, hopefully it'll get better. I mean, I'm not saying hopefully it will get better. I just have to, you know, keep a positive outlook on what's going on right now. So. But I'm really excited about the end of the year, you know, Ring of Honor. We do that every year. Then right around the corner again is Rumble. And you know what that means after that, Mania. So like I said last week on the show, this is like the downtime. So we fill the void with like kick-ass throwbacks, the holiday show, Thanksgiving show. What else do we got going on? We got, what else is going on? New Japan stuff's going on. The road to Wrestle Kingdom is finally underway with them too. And, you know, it's a happening. It's good times. And I said this in the summertime. It's really a good time to be a wrestling fan again. There's so much to do, so much to watch. I can't watch it all. I'm a little upset about it, you know, because being a grown up sucks a dick. So, You know, and I don't really, sometimes I don't want to do the podcast. Sometimes I just want to be, sometimes lately I don't even want to get out of bed, you know, and, it sucks. Depression's terrible, but you pull through and you persevere and you go forward and you conquer your day, man. You know, I've been having a good time at work. I've been opening some eyes and ears at work. I've been, you know, getting back into the old Phil at work, and people are noticing and they're happy to see me in my element, doing my thing. I'm getting praised by some of my colleagues and some of my bosses, my directors. You know, they get a vibe when I'm in there. They're happy when I'm behind the mic and I'm doing my thing. So no different from being here. You know, you guys motivate me and you guys make me, want to talk about wrestling when I don't want to. That's why I'm doing it right now from this remote area with no equipment, with a recorder. So I'm glad I could do that for you guys. I'm glad that I still have a little bit in me to do it, even though sometimes I don't want to do it. And not because I don't want to talk about wrestling. I'm just not feeling up doing anything, you know? And I got to stop that. I got to get back into a routine and get myself together, because there's a lot to be thankful for, and there's a lot to be done. And I am so blessed because I have an amazing support group. I got people in my ear every day rooting for me, you know? And that's really important. If you have that in your life, you are so lucky. You are absolutely blessed. And if you don't, let us know. We'll be your support group. We got a lot of great people that listen to the show. We got a lot of people who support us, other shows, my peers, our fans of the show, social media. We have a ton of people that just love what we do, and we love wrestling, and we have a common bond that we've all met up. We've done things together. I've made best friends from the show. You know, I've reconnected with people that I haven't seen in years because of the show. You know, my peers, I mean, the relationships that I've made with the Wizards and the Midnight Jury, Don Tony and Kevin Castle, Wrestling Soup, Solo Monster, all these guys and girls, they support us. Mega Powers Radio, Geeks of the Industry, you know, Shell Pod guys, Greg Crona Jones and all those kids, you know, the Nerdport kids, fucking Ronnie and JP and all those dudes. Like, I can name drop all day. Justin, Inconclusive Breakdown, Timmy and the Wonder Dog and all those other cats. Like, it's, you know, it's so many people, so many shows, so many inspirational people that are just doing their fucking thing, man. Dan Lopez is doing his thing still, you know, and just happy that I'm surrounded by this array of fucking talent, and I'm not worthy. I am definitely not worthy. Sometimes I feel worthy. Sometimes I don't, you know. But nonetheless, here I am. And in the midst of all the nonsense that's going on, I got invited to a dinner with Stan Hansen. And I started telling a story last week to Choppy. And I was like, hold that thought. I'm going to talk about it on the show next week. That's why I'm here. So we all know Rob from Thumbstick Ninja is my brother, the Mandingo of Destiny, him and Elaine the Brain. Rob is a confidant now, and he's one of my dearest friends in the whole wide world. And Rob's positivity is very infectious. You know, like, I think Rob knows me enough now to where I'm in a place, if I'm in a specific place emotionally, you know, Rob will like point me in the right direction. Like, all right, we're going to get this win today. We got a win today. This is why we're here. We're doing this, you know? And you know, I know New Day does the whole power positivity thing and it's cute on TV, but you know, his is infectious, you know? So when he first presented this to me, the first thing I thought of was, why aren't you not taking your brother with you? Cause you know, your brother would love this, and him and his brother are inseparable. They do everything together. And he said, my brother wouldn't appreciate this like you would. Okay. So my friend has a – I made friend. He was on a lunch break a while back in the Upper East Side, 51st Street, not too far from where I work. And he made a friend with this guy in a sushi restaurant, this guy Miku-san. And Miku's got this sushi restaurant. It's very small, very, very small. It's one small room and it's a bar and seven small tables. And so Rob went in there for lunch to how the story goes. And I think the second time he was in there, he noticed there was pictures on the wall of the wrestlers and autographs. And I posted them on Facebook a few weeks ago. There's Kabuki, there was Brody, there's a bunch of them. And all of a sudden he sees the gallon hat. He sees championship belts behind the bar. And all of a sudden he's striking up a conversation and one thing led to another. Miku-san is a huge fan of the Strong Style, huge fan of New Japan, All Japan, and he's a wrestling fanatic. He's from Japan, and he is personal friends with Stan Hansen. I don't know the connection. I didn't get a chance to talk to Miku-san about it. I had just met him, and he was just so, you know, first thing I walked in, and the hostess, you know, calls us in because the place is not open to the public. The place is open by invite only, right? So Rob was invited, and he was bringing the guest, and I was the guest. So now we all know I don't do fish. I mean, I do fish, but it's got to be like, you know, I eat the bad fish. I eat like lobster rolls, and I eat like fish sticks, and once in a while I like salmon, but I'll do like, you know, that kind of shit. I don't really eat like – I don't like raw fish at all. I tried sushi. Not a fan. So when he invited me to this sushi place, I'm like, I don't want to disrespect anybody and not eat their food, because in some cultures, if you don't eat the food that's presented to you, it's an insult. You know, and I'm here I am meeting one of my heroes in this setting in my hometown, and I couldn't be – it was insane. It was insane. So there I am. We walk into the restaurant, like I said, and Miku-san, I meet him, and he's like, oh, yeah. So Rob says, this is Phil from Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Like, oh, yes, yes. And he's like, Phil. And then there's an MC. I'm so mad I forgot his name. But this guy who was in charge of the whole – of the dinner, of the, you know, of the event, you know, he's got a microphone and a speaker. In the corner of the room is the microphone, the speaker, and a shirt of Stan Hansen's hanging up under a light fixture. And on the table next to the speaker is the replica belts of the Triple Crown Championship. So I walk in, and the first thing I see after I meet Miku-san and the hostess and then the MC is this of the belts. And he's like, oh, no, go take a look, he says. Okay. I go take a look. He says, take a picture. I'm like, oh, my God. I just took a picture with the Triple Crown Championship. It's crazy. So the MC is like, all right, so this is what we're going to do. This is how we do it. And he explains that when Stan Hansen walks in, we do the boo with the horns, you know, Texas. And what they do is, so Miku-san's got the bar, the sushi bar, right? And they sit us down and... what do you want to drink? I said, I don't know. What are you drinking? And they gave me this acai beer. Not acai, acai. And it's like a light beer. It was fucking delicious. And it was these small little 4-ounce glasses. And the waitress didn't even let my drink ever get to the bottom. They kept refilling it. And the MC walks over to me. He goes, all right, this is how we're going to do it. Stan's going to come in, and then you're going to introduce yourself to Stan and his wife. So there's a lot of, there's a couple of Japanese, distinguished looking Japanese guys there. We met one guy, his name was Shin. Shin is a huge wrestling fan, and we basically told us his life story. And, you know, he was a good dude. And we're talking with him, and so now everybody, and there was a couple elder gentlemen, and they all made their announcement. Hi, my name is so-and-so, my name is so-and-so. So when it got to me, there's a video of me. Rob recorded me. It was pretty funny. And I just, you know, my name is Phil Rea, and I'm from New York City, and I'm super blessed to be here. I'm humbled, and I can't believe I'm meeting Stan Hansen. This is great. He was so cool. Stan was the nicest guy. And his wife sat next to me, and she talked to me, and she looked at me. She goes, "You could be a wrestler." I'm like, no, I'm just fat. She starts laughing. She goes, no, you look like you could have been a wrestler. And I'm like, well, that's not the first time someone's told me that, but I appreciate it. And she sees my t-shirt and says, what's this? And so I had to explain to her what the podcast was. And she goes, well, you know, they ask Stan to do these all the time and there's no money in it. So like, he doesn't like to do them. So while this is going on, the MC walks over to us because they sit us down again and they bring out like the appetizers. And the appetizer was like these thin slices of like steak with the sweet sauce, right? And there's no forks. I got to use chopsticks. I don't know how to use chopsticks. I didn't embarrass myself though. You know, Rob told me a little technique and for the most part I did it. So they brought out the steak and then they brought out these like Japanese potato croquettes. They were fantastic, you know. And then they brought out this kind of vodka. It was like rot gut. It was like you took a shot of it on ice. I was like, whoa. I drink that. If I drink any more of that, I'll be outside singing, you know. So now he says, the MC comes over and says, now you're gonna sit with Stan for a few minutes. You're gonna get like 5 minutes, and they time you. You just ask him whatever you want. So Rob goes up to him first and tries to get a spot, you know, an audio spot. And, you know, I kind of fixed it. I got, you know, listen, hear Stan Hansen say turnbuckle throwbacks, I could have just played that, you know. I didn't care. It's Stan Hansen. And so when I got to him, you know, and I'm going to play the audio on this. When I got to him, it was dope. I sat down. I'm like, listen, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I know you've gotten these questions before, but I'm never going to see you again. He's like, I live in Colorado. Come visit me. He says, oh, that's a threat me with a good time, you know? So I'll play the audio for you on this. And, you know, and I asked him the questions, and he was like, yeah, he goes, you know, and he wanted to make sure that because I basically recorded him, he wanted to make sure that I was going to plug the, you know, Sushi U on East 51st Street. And I was like, yeah, of course, I'm doing it right now. Go to Sushi U in New York City and go see Miku-san. Tell him I said hello because he's my new friend, and I'm going to interview him too on a podcast eventually. So without further ado, here is the audio of me and Stan Hansen. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back. You listen to Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We're live on a rant, rantemradio.com, part of Shining Wizards Network. We'll be right back.
Grabbed his and did that too, man. And we were all going, God, Ed, he's in a bad mood. And he got on the train, you know, and I was thinking, he probably did $1,000 worth of damage. No cameras there, but that was Andre. Oh, sorry.
No, it's an absolute. I can't. This is crazy. I don't want to ask you a bunch of questions that, you know, you've been asked a million times, but I'm never going to see you again probably, so I want to, the Bruno thing, the neck thing, can you, the Bruno Sammartino, the broken neck, you guys were good after that? Like, you guys were?
We were.
Yeah.
Because Bruno's a class act.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell this to everybody. I mean, he was good. We were close at the very end of his life.
Awesome.
I mean, for a long time after that, he retired, I retired. We had always touched base.
He,
I heard him. Cost him a lot of money, but he never held it against me. And we were together in Japan a number of times. Established a, you know, a relationship there and carried over, and we have phone call a couple times a year and visit.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah, he was a great guy, man. But he could have acted a big different.
Yeah.
You know, the WWWF and the hierarchy of them, when I heard him, they really had bad feelings against me. But Bruno, he stood up for me with them, you know. And I mean, if Bruno would have acted different to me, I would have probably gone back to Texas, you know. And I said, well,
yeah
that's it. But he said, don't worry about it. Hey, I've been hurt. You know, so
that's
what?
Great though. That's awesome.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
That's great. Now, you know, when you first went to Japan, it wasn't commonplace for a lot of foreign wrestlers to go there, like just to stay there.
So, I didn't stay there in the beginning.
In the beginning, no, right.
I went a couple of times that year. Well, I'd gone one time for Baba, and then while I was in New York, they sent me to Inoki in New Japan because they had a relationship.
Right.
So coming out of New York after I hurt Bruno, they sent me to New Japan, and that's where I started working for New Japan.
Yeah.
But there were only, you know, there are a handful of guys really over the years that probably just made a living from basically Japan.
Yeah, it's commonplace now. Yeah, it's commonplace now, but when you did it, it was, like I was telling
you. Well, I don't know if it's common. I don't know if they're making a complete living or not. You know, I don't know. You know, I really don't know what's going on. I know that they got some really good guys and talent that are going there
100%,
and everything, which is good.
Yeah.
So, you know, I shouldn't speak whether what they're doing this or that, but, you know.
All right. Well, my next question is, did you really run over the AWA title with a pickup truck?
It was a tractor, not a pickup truck.
You were in a lot of prolific tag teams in Japan. You had great tag team partners.
Oh,
you had Brody,
awesome.
You had Gary Albright, Dan Spivey. Who was your favorite?
Well, I have to say that Brody and I were in a unique position. We were the most dominant tag team in the whole world, I think. You know, that's my opinion. That when we were really going there in Japan and Puerto Rico and a lot of places. Yeah.
Awesome.
But, you know, Spivey, I liked, I liked personally, and he was a good talent. DiBiase was good. And, I mean, Tenyu and I had great success.
You guys were tag team. Yeah.
He was, and I ended up, you know, in the end, I tagged with Baba, and Baba never, I mean, he was a good partner. I mean, he never, I mean, you know, physically he was at the, you know, at a hard time.
Right.
But he kept going, and I mean, God, I mean, the Japanese would beat the crap out of him, you know? And he never complained, never, you know. I mean, he took it so, you know, I mean, I had some great partners.
You did. Really? I mean, just the
so lineage. Many.
I know, it's, and I'm catching up. I'm like, when I knew I was coming, I was like, oh, I got to catch up because I got to rewatch everything just to get myself familiar with it. What was, I'll talk about WCW real quick. You were in, Earl, I think it was 90, you and Luger, the U.S. title.
Yeah.
Did you have fun there?
Fun. Did I have fun? She was pregnant with our last boy.
Oh, boy.
So, anyway. True story. I told her, I said, listen, you know, thanks. You know, I know it's hard. You've been pregnant, you know, but I got a good chance in WCW and everything. Anyway, I was going there to make a little extra money and everything, right? But
right.
I said, if it gets too much, all right, just tell me and I'm,
right.
I'm home.
Of course, family first, week, 100%.
Know, 100%. So anyway, eventually it came to that. But with Luger and, you know, a lot of people knocked Luger as, you know, for whatever the reason. But I had no problems with him at all. And you know, we did good business, and Ole was the booker.
Yes,
when he brought me in.
Yes.
But he got fired, and then Dusty became the guy, and a guy named Hurd or something. Anyway, they... And, you know, so I was kind of the out guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I was kind of the out, you know, out guy. And I, but it was good. It served its purpose. And,
it's an absolute honor and a privilege to be sitting here with you. Yeah. I just want to say thank you very much for your time. And it's
well,
awesome.
Thank you for...
Hey, can I get a picture if you don't mind?
Sure.
Awesome. Thank you.
Don't get my tongue now.
No, sir.
Oh, my wife says, I thought you. Oh, I thought that was the lens cap.
That shows what I know here. Here, one more without my glasses.
Okay. Absolutely.
Oh, just press.
Oh, you're right. Thank you.
Oh, you got to take the lens cap off.
Because that's the way they used to do it.
Yeah, no. Yeah, of course. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you're not tuned in to The Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh, my God. I just love The Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Horns up. This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the weekend entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at InconclusivePod or Facebook.com/InconclusiveBreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
This is the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
All right, we're back. So I'm glad you got to hear that. And you know, like I said, it was. I knew what I wanted to ask him, but I had so much more to ask him. I only had a couple of minutes, you know. But just talking with him, interacting with him, I found out some things, man. I found out that he doesn't watch any of his work. Because Miku-san had all his matches playing in the background at the bar. And he was, you know, people asking, do you remember that? Do you remember that? He's like, no. So I remember, you know, these guys I wrestled, but I don't remember certain days, whatever. And throughout the night, they were just, you know, and Stan's wife was just, you know, they're talking about their grandchild, and, you know, Stan's retired now. He only does a couple of these events, and they were in New York to see a show and then to see his friend, Sandy Beach. I forgot his real name already, but he has business partners out here. Sometimes he comes out here and whatever. But, like, he doesn't watch wrestling. I learned that. And he doesn't watch his work. And he doesn't think that it was that great, you know? And I said, you know, I said, I don't think you understand. I said to him, this off the record, I didn't record this, but throughout the night, he kept talking to us, you know, he kept interacting with Rob and I and, you know, and Shin and a bunch of us. And I said to him, like, I said, Mr. Hansen, I said, it's an absolute, before I left, I'm like, it's an absolute honor and a pleasure to meet you. And, you know, he's like, oh, he goes, ah, it was nothing. I'm just glad people remember me. And I said, remember you? I said, your body of work was amazing. I said, you did things that in Japan that a lot of gaijin didn't do. There weren't many gaijin back then that did what he did. You know, now there are a dime a dozen. And listen, no disrespect to Cody or the Bucks or, you know, Skrull and Paige and all those other cats, but like, if it wasn't for the Funks and Brody and Hansen and Andre, like, laying the groundwork for and the Road Warriors for guys to go over there and make a, you know, guys just do tours and that's it. There are only a few people that made livings in Japan, like Kenny Omega and Stan Hansen and Bruiser Brody, and those guys stayed for a while and they made money. So, I don't know. It was an amazing night. And, you know, I really can't put in words. It was just surreal. And you know, the more I drank, the more I got comfortable. And I just kept telling Rob, like, Rob, I can't believe I'm here. And Rob's like, you won tonight. This is a win, you know. Enjoy it. You know, take it all in. This is like a thing, you know, and like when it was time for the bill, I was like, oh, how much is all this going to cost? Like, don't worry about it. We were like guests of them, of the restaurant. And I was like, wow, you know, and it was cool. I drank beer with Stan Hansen and his wife, who is an absolute sweetheart. And you know, and I don't really get freaked out by my heroes all the time. You know, I mean, I mark out in my head, like when I saw Pat Patterson at a convention in an elevator. Hey, Mr. Patterson, good morning. You know, or the time I met Tully Blanchard, and I was like, hey, man, I'm so glad that you came out in this frigid weather to see everybody, and I'm sad that no one came to your table hardly because you're Tully fucking Blanchard, but I came just to see you. And he was so happy. And I think the general theme of these old timers is that they, you know, they're humbled that you remember them. How could you forget? Legends. The body of work. And it's the same thing if you're a fan of an actor or an actress. You know, I have friends who dabble in theater. And then when they see their big Broadway, you know, those big Broadway players, you see them up close and personal. I'm sure it's the same thing. Or when I see my favorite athlete, you know, it's like, wow, you know, I've met some amazing people. I've met some of my heroes, but I got to break bread with Stan the Lariat Hansen. Let that sink in. If you're a fan of the Strong Style, if you're a fan of Old Japan Pro Wrestling, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and you don't know who Stan Hansen is, you may not be a good enough fan. The man who broke Bruno Sammartino's neck. The man who ran over the AWA Championship with a tractor. The man who beat up on Lex Luger and didn't stay in WCW because his wife was pregnant and about to give birth. And could have stayed, made a ton of money, and probably could have been world champion if he stayed. How do you like those apples? Stan, the Larry and Hansen, the unsinkable battleship, the bad man from Borger, Texas. One of the absolute nicest human beings on the planet. You wouldn't know that his demeanor was so good after watching his violent matches, how he would kick the living shit out of his opponents, and probably one of the most devastating moves in professional wrestling, which is the Lariat. Guys tried to copy it. You had Nikita Koloff's sickle. It was cool. You had JBL, clothesline from hell, who modeled his move off of Stan Hansen. Proven fact. Still wasn't good enough. The man handled his business. The man was a ring general. And it was so cool to see him. And what was one of the most profound moments of the entire evening was when he saw the Bruiser Brody ceremony. Like right after Brody died, they had like a ceremony for him, and they had like this picture and an easel and a ring with flowers and stuff. And Stan gives a speech. He's never seen that video. He gave that speech 30 years ago this year and has never seen that video. He was so profound. He got up from his seat next to me, walked over to the bar, sat by the bar, and just people were recording him watching it. That's how profound it was. Go figure, right? Crazy, 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 insane. Crazy. But it was so cool. And I know I told Rob this a million times already. I'm just forever grateful that you invited me. And I'm glad I made new friends with Miko-san. And we're going to get him on the show. Miko came out to thank. He came out of the restaurant when we were leaving. We were almost halfway down the block. He came out to hug us and shake our hand and thank us for coming. Like, thanking us. Like, he fucking put this whole spread out on his dime. And it was like, nah, you guys are the best. Thanks for coming. So, Miko-san, you are Ichiban number one. Stan, and your staff, Ichiban number one. Awesome. And Stan Hansen, Mrs. Stan Hansen, you guys are Ichiban number one. Rob, you will be forever Ichiban with me. Always number one. And Rob speaks a little Japanese. So he was talking Japanese with Stan Hansen's wife and some of our new friends. Like, profound. Like, it was so surreal. So it was such a great night. One of the best nights of my life. And I feel like all these things happen to me sometimes because I have like the best of luck, you know? Hold on a second. All right, so we're all over the place. So I hope you guys enjoyed all the other audio. This audio has been going on for the last 2-3 weeks. So you'll hear some stuff that already happened and stuff that's about to happen, and all this other happy horse shit. So anyway, I did see Crown Jewel, and it was horrible. I mean, not the whole thing. I'm just like the last couple of matches, you know. The whole thing with Shane McMahon was stupid. They're not even running with it on SmackDown. The tag team match with Kane and Taker against Shawn Michaels and Triple H was horrible. Triple H had a gruesome injury. Everybody posted the pictures. Watching Shawn Michaels and Undertaker still wrestle is just, it's painstaking. It really is. It's no disrespect. Those guys are legends. Those guys have been great in their prime. They've done amazing shit. But at this stage of the game, it's unwatchable. It's absolutely unwatchable. I just found myself disgusted, really, you know. And I don't know, man. They write this stuff in and it's like, I understand why they did it. See, it's a thing. I can differentiate being angry and being upset at certain things that WWE does. But, and then I automatically right away play devil's advocate and know why they're doing it. You know, there's a reason behind it. A lot of the fans don't want to hear it. Some of the fans just refuse to accept it, that there's a reason and rhyme to it. I'm not that kind of fan. I like to view the product with an open mind because I've been a fan for so long. And pro wrestling is my mistress, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I feel like I always give pro wrestling the benefit of the doubt, no matter how bad it is or no matter how good it is, you know. So, again, like, just bad booking. Bad booking. It's just not feasible, you know. And the Shane McMahon thing, I mean, you couldn't come up with anything else better than that. You have him win the fucking trophy. And then he comes on SmackDown. It's like, I'm not the best in the world. The whole locker room is. I mean, if you're going to win the best in the world trophy, now you have to walk around like you're the best in the world. You're not the best in the world anymore? No, we'll just be in Survivor Series in the tag team elimination match. Which I'm happy about the card, too, by the way. All the champions are fighting each other. It's going to be... I like Survivor Series. I always did. The traditional one I adore. I think it's the best ever, you know. And I don't know, man. I'm excited for that. I always get excited. I think it's next Sunday. So Choppy and I will be on next Friday. And we'll be plugging it and talking about it and reviewing it. Because I saw Choppy two nights ago for like a half hour, 40 minutes. We had a nice long chat. And, you know, Choppy and his wife have been very instrumental behind the scenes in what's going on with me. And they've been helping me tremendously and just being there for me and hugging me and making sure I'm going to be all right. Probably made a world of difference. And he revealed a big idea, big plan for us for 2019. So I'm excited about that. I'm always excited about like strategizing and making plans. I love making plans and follow through with them. It's my pleasure. But yeah, it's going to be a good time. We got the Christmas stuff coming up. We'll talk about that next week. I just want to make sure that all the parties involved still want to do it. I haven't spoken to any of the other guys. But we usually do a Christmas show, but this time we're going to do a little bit bigger. So I'm excited about that. What else? Have I watched any other wrestling? I'm trying to figure it out. I did watch NXT. I'm enjoying NXT. They're doing the War Games thing again. I'm excited about that. I'm excited for Wrestle Kingdom coming up in January. Our brother Rob is going. Awesome. He just revealed that yesterday. So, of course, we'll have to get him on when he gets back from his trip. Very jealous. I'm shooting for 2020. I'm shooting for 2020. I don't know if I can do it. my expenses, my lifestyle is about to change real soon. For the better. I'm not, it's not bad. I'm just saying, like, you know, I have to really grind at it and make a plan to save for something like that. Because if I go to Japan, I'm not just bringing, like, just enough money. I'm going balls out. I'm going to eat, drink, and watch wrestling through the entire fucking process while I'm there. Spare no expense, you know. I'm excited for that. Excuse me. I'm a little tired. I apologize. I haven't been sleeping very well. There's, you know, so like, Wrestle Kingdom is going to be cool. I know. The whole card hasn't been announced yet. I know Ishii's fighting Zack Sabre, Tanahashi, Jericho, Naito. I'm sure the Bucks will be in there. The Bucks are now with Kenny Omega, Adam Page, Marty Scurll. They're now the Elite. There's no more Bullet Club. They announced that on Jericho's podcast. So they are no longer in Bullet Club. That was a 5-year run for those, for some of those guys. And now they are the Elite. So I guess with Kota Ibushi, they're the Golden Elite. But they're the Elite nonetheless. Bullet Club is Bullet Club now. Jay White is in charge of Bullet Club, allegedly, with the Tongas and Fale and all those other guys. So interesting turn of events in New Japan. New Japan is heavy on the factions. I like factions. Always did, always will. It's my thing. Love it. I love it. I love it. I don't care, you know, if there's 17 factions. Factions make angles. Angles make matches. And matches make a good card. So, you know, in that order, too. So it's like, it's a win-win for everybody. The initial thought process of them not having these guys in Bullet Club just means that they can bring more guys in. Or guys back. Maybe Gallows and Anderson will wind up back there. Maybe Prince Devitt will wind up back there. You know, maybe one of the Elite guys will turn and go to Bullet Club. Like, you know, there's so many things you can factor in. It's pretty fucking cool, actually. It's not a bad deal. What else? Did I watch any of the wrestling? I haven't watched a lot of wrestling, really. I watched Raw and SmackDown this week. Just because I wanted to see what was going on with Survivor Series. I'm invested in Survivor Series. So I want to see who the teams are. I want to see, you know, what's going what. You know, I'm glad Nikki Cross is on SmackDown. That's my future baby mama. I think she's a really good talent. She's cute on the eye. She got a little nice little shit locker on her, too. God bless her. So, but yeah, you know, I'm just excited about the whole process. I just want to, you know, get this thing going with this other stuff that I got going on and get that out of the way and concentrate more on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And there's a lot of talk of other projects that are in the works, but they can't go until I'm fully committed. So that's going to have to wait until 19, which, again, not too bad. I spoke to Lou the other night from the Star Wars podcast, and now currently Ghetto Geek Squad. That stuff is still going to go. It just has to wait, you know? You know, like, real life is first, and unfortunately, I have to be more of an adult than I usually am, so that's going to have to take precedence, so. You know, you learn about yourself a lot when this stuff goes on, and when you do, like, this type of medium, when you do podcasts and you know, you kind of share your personal life with everybody, you know, for me, it's kind of therapeutic. You know, for me, you know, there's a core of you guys that interact with me every day on social media, and then there's just the regular audience that listens and doesn't interact with us at all. The core audience, though, you know, they are in tune and in sync with what's going on with us more than the usual crowd, because they interact with us almost every day. And that's, you know, us, the rant guys, the wizard guys, you know. So it's like, you know, and then the fan base, of course. But, you know, you guys have been so cool just supporting us and chopping. I really appreciate it. We truly appreciate it. I am going to watch more wrestling. I just haven't had a chance to. I get nostalgic, too, around this time of year. I start breaking out the old Survivor Series matches, some old WCW stuff. I was watching Clash of the Champions. I did watch some stuff. I watched Clash of the Champions the other day, some old Halloween Havocs. I watched Funk and Flair again from Albany, from Clash of the Champions. Was that Albany or Troy, New York? I forget. It's upstate New York somewhere, so don't hold me to it. I'm trying to do this by memory, and my brain is absolute mush since July, so I apologize for all that. I'm going to apologize a lot. If you guys don't like it, eat a dick. But anyway, Did I watch any other wrestling? I want to watch Lucha Underground. I know Wade Barrett, Stu Bennett, whatever the fuck his name is now. He's on air. I'm excited about that. I want to see that. I still want to catch up on Impact. I haven't watched a lot of Impact since the last pay-per-view. I want to do that, too. I've been following New Japan, WWE, obviously. So I've been doing that. Ring of Honor, Final Battle is coming up. In a couple of weeks, I will be at Final Battle with some of the crew, and I believe I have the match listing right here because I saved it and sent it to somebody. What the hell did I do here? Let me see if I can find it. Did I do that, though? Let's see. No, that's not it. Screenshots. Oh yeah, I did save it. Alright. Sumi Sakai versus Madison Rain versus to be announced. Fatal 4-Way for the Women's Ring of Honor, Women of Honor World Championship. Bully Ray versus Flip Gordon. Dalton Castle versus Matt Taven. Christopher Daniels versus Marty Scurll. Jonathan Gresham versus Zack Sabre Jr. in a submission match. Let's see here. SCU versus the Young Bucks versus the Briscoes in a ladder match. Adam Page versus Jeff Cobb for the Ring of Honor Television Championship. And Cody Rhodes goes for the title again as he goes against world champion Jay Lethal. That's your final battle card for December in the Manhattan Center in New York City. And your boys will be there. It's going to be a happening. Going to be dope. I'm very, very excited about that. There are so many reasons why you should be a pro wrestling fan right now. And I could tell you, you know, the main reason obviously is because you have options, you know. And for me as an older fan, you know, I tend to not watch everything at once anymore. Because my mind and my interests are other places. I'm into this DC Universe thing now. I'm kind of getting back into comic books, but not really. Like, I can't really buy them. I can't store them. I can't afford them all. But, you know, I keep up with the stories and stuff like that. So I'm doing that. You know, all my superhero TV shows, catching up on those. And I'm a big biopic person. So I like documentaries. So I just watched the Freddie Mercury, the Bohemian Rhapsody movie the other day. It was fantastic. Took some time out for that for myself. And I saw a cool documentary about two bands from the 70s, Blood, Sweat, and Tears. And I saw The Band. Fantastic. Fantastic. Amazing music. Amazing arrangements. Masterpieces. Just awesome stuff. If you're into that kind of stuff, definitely check it out. I own a lot of that music too, anyway. So, but just to see the, you know, just to have that documentary on those documentaries on TV, and it's on Access, so it's the same channel as they show all the replays of New Japan. So that was cool. And they were doing something recently that was on New Japan World. So they just replayed their last big event. exciting, man. Very exciting to be a wrestling fan because the internet, in my eyes, is probably the downfall of wrestling, mainly because of the killing of kayfabe. What the normal fan now processes, not the normal fan, I should say the younger fan, wrong choice of words. The younger fan, what they process is just stuff that's fed to them through the internet. And they'll base their theory, their opinion, they'll hypothesize, they'll talk about, well, you know, this is going to happen because I saw this. This is going to happen because I said that. This is going to happen because I read this. And, you know, for the most part, a lot of it is predictable. So you're not really shocking the world when you make these revelations on the internet. It's cool when we do it, though, and, like, people say, hey, Phil, you were right. I like Choppy when he gets all excited. He goes, man, you were right about that. I didn't even see that coming. That makes me feel good because at least I know I'm on my game. I'm not trying to one-up anybody. That's not the issue here. You know, that's not the plan anyway. It just makes me feel good because I'm old. And I like my ego stroked once in a while. So, and I'm a mook, apparently, according to him. So anyway, I digress, as other podcasters will tell you. The average fan now, the current fan, should know what each promotion is worth to them. Like, you're not going to stop watching. People's like, I canceled my subscription, and anyone they're going back to it. So stop saying you don't watch WWE. Everybody watches WWE. There's still value there. They're still the best. They revolutionized television, cable television, and they basically formed sports entertainment. Period. But everybody can stream stuff now off the internet. You have the NWA, you have Impact, you have Ring of Honor, you have Lucha Underground, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. You have all the indie promotions in England. You have Rev Pro, you have, I think it's IPW, ICW. There's a bunch of stuff. You got Mexico, you have Japan, New Japan, Old Japan, Noah. You have all the Joshi stuff. You have... your local indie scene. We have WrestlePro. We have Warriors of Wrestling. We have Fight the World Wrestling. We have ICW. We, New York, I'm talking about. New York, New Jersey. We have a ton of shit. You know, we have Combat Zone Wrestling. You know, we have Northeast Pro Wrestling. There's so many fucking promotions. And your local fucking town, wherever you live, they have a promotion. They have a fed. Go support it. You know, everybody's got something. There's Evolve. There is, you know, there's so Dragon Gate. There's so many things you can watch. It's unbelievable. There's too much. It's almost saturated. There's so much to absorb on top of the regular stuff on television. Don't deny yourself a good time. Like, you know, I've said this a million times, no one suspended disbelief anymore, which is fine. And you guys don't go to a movie theater and do that, or a Broadway show, or a show in general. You don't go to a rock concert and be like, oh, and cross your arms and sit in the crowd and go, oh, that pyrotechnic scene was terrible during that last song. Get the fuck out of here. Who made you fucking expert? No one's an expert. We're all marks. It's all a work. All of it. It's a rouge. It's a ploy to get your money to buy the merch. No, it's not. I'm just being silly. But we're all marks. Deal with it. It is a way of life. Marky McMarkison. That's who I am. I still mark out. I get excited. I get giddy when I like something on, in terms of pro wrestling or sports entertainment. I get excited. I get happy. I like seeing the progression of stories, the progression of characters, the evolution of characters from NXT to WWE, or from Evolve to WWE, or from an indie promotion to WWE, or Impact, or Mexico, Japan, what have you. It's a win-win. All of it. All of it. Embrace it. Love it. Enjoy it. I can't tell you what joy it brings me when our fans post stuff on social media. They post links, they post videos, they post predictions, they post opinions, and we get these healthy, vibrant discussions about how we feel and what should be done and who does it. And we all respect each other, and we all respect each other's opinions, and we all just hope for the best. You spend your hard-earned money every month on these things. We go to matches every couple of months. We do podcasting, live streaming, hopefully video soon. We've been saying it for a long time, but now we have potential real estate for all of that, so I'm working on that. And there's so many things that we've done to enhance our viewing of pro wrestling and sports entertainment. There's not, you know, it's not just a pay-per-view anymore. It's a pre-show. It's a post-show. It's a podcast. It's a live stream. It's a preview. It's a review. You know, it's more. I like that. There's a reason why every Sunday morning the NFL starts their pre-show at 9 o'clock in the morning. The games don't start till 1 o'clock Eastern time. But there's a reason why these pre-shows start 4 hours before that, because they generate a gazillion dollars. And these former players and these sports anchors break down, analyze every team, every play, every down, every, you know, everything. Every game, preview it, report from it, from the actual site, injuries, you know. And, you know, pro wrestling takes a page out of that. That's why the WWE Network is so, you know, is so popular, because they have the pre-show now and they have those post-shows, and there's more interaction, obviously, with social media. Same thing. I like that you can enhance the product. Even on our level, we have so many peers that are really good at what they do. I can listen to Solo Monster talk all the time. You know, The Soup, Anthony and Kevin, The Wizards, you know, I can listen to a lot of, there's a lot of guys that, you know, and girls too, that know their shit, you know, the Rant guys, obviously, you know, and we have sports guys too. We have, you know, Will Morgan and all those guys, and we're all sports fans too. So it goes hand in hand. It really does, you know. But anything that it could enhance your viewing of sports and sports entertainment, I think is a win-win. I think it's just going to get better, to be honest with you. I think it's going to be to the point where that's going to be oversaturated too. But again, what you do, you pick and choose. Can I realistically listen to every fucking podcast I want to listen to? No. I could download it and go back and get somebody's opinion. That'd be fun. You know? That'd be interesting, actually, to do that. You know? I'm just... I'm not as jaded as I used to be. You know, I could be not into what's going on and still talk about it because of the throwback aspect of it. I'll just get back into the mood by, you know, watching something from like 30 years ago or 20 years ago. Because that's what I do, you know. So that's how I cope. That's how I deal, you know. No big deal. It's not, you know. And I like that we still talk about that stuff and people are interested. Oh, I like when people are like, oh, I want to hear your opinion about this that happened a gazillion years ago because it reminds me of something that's going on now. Okay. That's my pleasure. I could definitely do that. I could definitely do that. So, you know, it's going to be happening. It's going to be happening. It's going to be an interesting 2019, to say the least. Once we get over Christmas, it's right into Royal Rumble. Then we're back into Mania season again. And that's going to be so much fun. And then 2019 will be the 20th anniversary of 1999. A lot of cool stuff happened in 1999 for your boy and for Choppy for personal reasons and pro wrestling. So I am excited about the future. I'm not in a good place right now personally, but I know that I'm in a good place to the point where I'm going to be okay. And we're going to have Turnbuckle Throwbacks at least for next year. I can't say what's going to happen afterwards. But I thought about a lot of time just wrapping it up. Maybe just going to episode 300 because we're close and just calling it a day. Because it is a lot of work. And I'm the only one really that does all the behind the scenes shit. You know, not taking anything away from Choppy. That's just not his bag. He just brings his notes and his knowledge, and that's fine. But I'm the one who has to upload and produce and edit and plug and, you know, and record. And it just sometimes, like the last couple of weeks, guys, I got to be real honest with you. If I didn't have dinner with Stan Hansen a few weeks ago, I wouldn't even be doing this podcast, this whatever this is, whatever this episode is. Which should be hopefully up this weekend. But, you know, to be honest with you, I wasn't going to do anything. You know, I don't have the strength. That's it. The mental strength to do this right now weekly. I want to. I really, really do. I just don't. You know, there's so much shit going on. And I told myself initially, I'm like, all right, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And I've done that a few times. It's just like, I'm shot. When you're the only one that's doing it like this, though, it almost becomes a burden, you know? But then I just open Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and I see all the kids that are like digging our shit, and then I feel a little bit alive again. I get excited. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, everybody's still listening, everybody's still around. So it's just, you know, like I said, I don't, emotionally I'm unstable, so there's a lot of things that my coping mechanisms don't kick in right away. My initial reaction is just to shut shit down because part of it is fear and part of it is just not wanting to be, confrontational about certain things. So if you find yourself in a position where you're just shutting down your everyday routines, you should talk to somebody. You know, you should really talk to somebody and – or talk to somebody professionally, or talk to clergy, talk to a good friend, talk to a – if you're still in high school, talk to a teacher or a guidance counselor. Do you have a close friend or a close relative? Talk to somebody. On top of me talking to somebody professionally, I have a tremendous support group. People with open ears and open arms and at my disposal. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. So if you go and do some shit, make sure you get yourself a support group. If you don't have a support group, then talk to somebody that you trust and know. If you don't have any of those things, you talk to me and Choppy. We'll help you any way we can. Because it's important to us that you guys are safe and happy. And, you know, a lot of you guys have a lot going on your plate. You're also parents, or you're a sibling, or you're an uncle or an aunt, or, you're a parent. Like, you're a lot of things. You're not just a fan of the show. I'm not just the impact player. I am a stepdad. I am a brother, an uncle, a friend, a cousin, colleague, coworker. I was told at work the other day that my leadership skills are superior to some because of my aura, because of my presence around my coworkers. Like, if I'm having a bad day, my coworkers are having a bad day. And I didn't know I had that effect on certain people. You know, my boss told me the other day, he goes, you know, we know you're having a hard time with something, and your coworkers know you're having a hard time about something without even you telling them. And not that you're doing anything wrong, and not that you're being mean or you're being obnoxious, or you're totally messing up at your job, but there's just a demeanor about you. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, he goes, you're a powerful person. You have powerful presence, your powerful aura, and you say powerful things, and your coworkers are listening. And it got me thinking, man. I was telling somebody this last night. I said, I do this for funsies too. Like, I talk to people all the time, do the podcast, do the show. And I don't know, man. I don't feel it. But if that's the case, then I might need to just step back and recognize that, you know? And that's fine. You know, it's nothing wrong with that. I just now have to be more conscious of what I say and who I say it to. Because if I'm influencing people to the point where I'm changing their attitude or their demeanor for that day, then, you know, I don't want anybody to get in trouble or get hurt or feel bad, or I want everybody to be happy. There's two things I want in this world more than anything in life. I want to be happy, and I don't want to be a burden to people. That's my two goals right now. And what I mean by happy, I mean by the grand scheme of it all. Relationships and friendships and family and work, and how you juggle all of that and still go home every day and look yourself in the mirror and say, hey, I'm a good person. I did something good today. I'm a great person. I did something great today. I am the man. I will be the man tomorrow and the next day and whatever days I have left on this side of the dirt. You know what I'm saying? I approach middle life soon, and it's like, you know, and I said this. I said this last year too. I said this on my birthday too. I think, you know, you start when you hit a certain age. You start to question everything in your life. Hence why I'm in this position I'm in now, going through another big change in my life. You start to question every single thing. You start to question your courtships and your parenting and your work and your family and your friends. You're not questioning them, but personally, you're questioning how you deal with certain things. You know, you start to question what you want to deal with in certain things. You start to question how you're going to go about fixing things that are broke that you can fix. In my case, I'm always trying to fix something that I can't fix. That's my problem. But then you start questioning how you're going to repair things that have already been broken that you can fix. You know, mending fences and piecing your life together again is probably the hardest thing you can do by yourself. Thank God I'm not by myself. I get a text message or a phone call now every single day reminding me that there are good people out there that love me and care about me. And I hope that's the same for you guys. I hope all you guys have a really good support group. It's important. Even if that support group is just your immediate family. Maybe it's just your wife or your husband. Maybe it's just a sibling. Maybe it's just your child. Maybe it's just a friend. If you have someone in your life that's behind you, that will roll with you, as we say around the way, ride or die kind of thing. Like, you know, I got friends that will walk into the fire with me. You know, my new approach, and I got this from Rob, so Rob's going to probably smile when he hears this, but when I say something to him, when he'll ask me about something, about what's going on, I'll tell him and I'll follow it up with, well, I hope this happens, or I hope this can happen. I hope this goes well. And then when it does, he'll say, we got a win today. We got a win today. Like, Rob, I can't believe I'm with you right now having dinner with Stan Hansen. We got a win today. You know, I can't believe that, you know, I'm going to be doing so-and-so and with so-and-so and whatever. You got to win today. Every day is a win now. If I wake up and I'm talking to you guys, or I'm going to start my day, or I'm going to do – I had plans. I had to cancel plans this weekend. I had plans canceled on me. Like, it's still a win. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm somewhat healthy. Physically, but I'm healthy. I'm healthy enough to do content. I'm healthy enough to, you know, hopefully help somebody, help myself. It's all about self-worth. And Turnbuckle Throwbacks was a product of self-worth. When you start realizing who you are and how much you're worth, you can achieve stuff that you thought was unachievable. Turnbuckle Throwbacks is one of them. Being a part of networks, networking with other peers from all over the world. Self-worth. Color commentary for indie wrestling. Self-worth. Doing this show with now three different co-hosts, self-worth. Reminding yourself that you are a productive member of society, that you are a good person, you're a good parent, you're a good sibling, brother, sister, cousin, aunt, uncle, grandparent. You're a good whatever professional field that you're in. Self-worth. For me, the hardest thing in life is to love. And I say that with the caveat of, I only know how to love unconditionally. I just don't go, well, you know, I just love my friends a little bit. No, I love my friends unconditionally. If I'm in a relationship, I love that person unconditionally. I'm a parent. I'm a step-parent. I'm not even a biological parent, but that's unconditional love. So you have these, you know, I set these parameters for myself, And not always following up with them, obviously, you know. And it's just the way it is, you know. And I am, well, not I say I'm, I will be eventually content with it all. And I'll be in a better place mentally where I can focus on that. And the better I focus on it, the better I am at this. I still need this in my life. I don't want it all the time, but I still need it in my life. If that makes any sense. So, but enough about the psychobabble. So let's see. How long have I talked so far? Let me just see. I'm recording this on my phone. Hold on. God, I hate this phone. I don't really hate the phone. I just hate that I can't navigate the way I want to. All right, I'm 40 minutes in. Okay. So that should be enough time to tell you guys that we have a new show next week. I don't know what the throwback is going to be, but we're going to have a new show next week. We have a couple of announcements regarding, well, you know what? I'm going to tell you. We have a couple of announcements coming next week. So Choppy and I are very, very excited. And this is what I want you to do. I want you guys to please keep supporting us on the social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It's all there for you. You can email the show, turnbuckle throwbacks1@gmail.com. We're going to design more shirts. I have to figure out how we're going to do it. But if you can, just please, it helps us out a lot. Just buy a shirt on prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. Go to turnbuckle throwbacks.com for all of our back catalog. I know there's a couple of you guys that are catching up with back shows, and I'm getting messages about it. That makes me so happy. You could tell how the show progresses in the last 3 or 4 years, and it's been a fucking blast, man. I want you guys to go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, support the Shining Wizards, support all of their shows on the network. All right, there's amazing talent there besides the Wizards. You guys have Inconclusive, you got High Spots, you got the Bad Fellas, the Garifo comedy fucking podcast. Go support those guys too. And Nigel McGuinness's podcast is still on there, I believe. We got a bunch, you know, of course, Radioactive Metal's on there. So go support those guys. They're a fucking blast, seriously. Always support the Midnight Jury. Always support Handsome Dan. Always support Don Tony, Kevin Castle, Wrestling Soup, Geeks of the Industry, Mega Pals Radio. You know, always support those guys. Solo Monster is our buddy. Support him. Support Greg Corona Jones and the Shell Pod guys. Go support them. They're always streaming shit. Go support the Nerd Port with fucking Ronnie and all those guys. Support them. Go support Rant EM Radio, the flagship, the mothership of Rant EM, and all the shows on there. Sports Report and Wizards are on there, and Midnight Jury's on there a couple times a month. So go support all of those guys. Please, just pass the word along to your colleagues, to your friends, to your neighbors that we're here, we're doing big things, and that you enjoy us. The more you plug, the more you download. Go on iTunes, leave a review. Go on Android, get all the apps and shit. Download it all. It's there for you. Enjoy it. That's going to be it for me. I want to thank everybody again for all their love and support. Choppy and I will be back next week. Live episode on RantEMRadio.com, 9 o'clock next Friday. I believe it's the 16th. If something changes, we'll let you know. Keep it locked to social media. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy life. Enjoy your family, your friends. Enjoy whatever the fuck you do and do it to the fullest. Take care of yourselves, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Don't say any of those N words and don't say any of those silly words. Be a good fucking productive member of society. And I'm out of here. I love all of you guys sincerely from the bottom of my soul. And I'll be back next week. Peace.